You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. You are listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, making this world a better place one show at a time. At least we're trying.
The hardest working man in internet radio is my father, George Wilder Jr., and here he is.
All right, everybody. Thank you for being here. This is the George Wilder Jr. Show, broadcasting live from Chicago. And welcome once again, welcome to the George Wilder Jr. Show. And I am in my studio, as always, ladies and gentlemen, sitting right here, staring out of this great big window before me onto the boulevard, onto the avenue, whatever they want to call it. And it's beautiful. It's another beautiful day. It is another wonderful, great day in Chicago, at least weather-wise, okay? Everything else is screwed up, but however, weather-wise, it is gorgeous. The sun is shining. The people are out and about. It is totally a fantastic day. And if you're in Chicago, get out and enjoy this weather. Do not worry, because once the show is over, yours truly will be out there enjoying the weather. But it is so great. It is so fine. I know for the last few weeks I've been bitching about the weather, but I cannot bitch about it now. If I do, it's in the positive arena. That means I'm going to say something nice for a change. And summer is finally here. We don't know what happened to spring, but officially it is not summer yet, but it totally feels like it in Chicago. And I don't want to rub salt into anyone's wounds, especially when the weather is not so good in Texas. I mean, they are still having these flash floods, rainstorms, and they're flooding out. I'm hearing that Houston is underwater. And we just have to pray for those type of people and those kinds of people and those people who are in trouble, who have lost everything. And we pray for those people that they can get themselves back up on their feet. And that's great. That's wonderful. But in Chicago, and I'm pretty sure elsewhere, the weather is beautiful. And it's kind of scary, folks. I'm going to say this again. It's kind of scary because we're having this great weather and it's not summer officially. However, it is June, okay? It is June, and this kind of weather is expected somewhat, even though it's not officially summer, but it's great. It's great. I still say that those of us in Chicago haven't really had a spring, but that's fine. All of that is, I'm thinking all of that is underwater right now, okay? No pun intended for those people out there in Texas who are having a really, really hard time of it. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Follow me on Blog Talk Radio right here. Follow me right here. I'm on, sometimes I forget where I am, but I'm Facebook, LinkedIn, I'm all over the place, Google. I mean, I have a brand new website that I'm still working on, but you can always go check that out. I'm on Amazon.com. I have about 20 or 30 projects on Amazon.com. Just type my name up there in the text bar, and you're all set. All right, my guest today is author Jeff Barnes. He will be talking about his book, The Wisdom of Walt. We're going to find out. If you don't know what that is, we're going to find out as soon as he comes onto the show. But stick around, folks. It's always fun on this show. It's always exciting. You know, even if I don't have a guest, it's always exciting. It's always fun because I'm going to find something to talk about and to something to for you to learn about. All right. You miss a show here, you will miss a lot. You will miss a hell of a lot. Okay, we are just about all booked up for the rest of the month here with guests, and I'm starting to make bookings for the month of July. And we will see where that goes. Okay, you are now listening to the George Water Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. Thank you. All right, Justin, and this is official. Prince died of a drug overdose, okay? Prince died of a drug overdose, opioids. I just knew it was something had to happen. I mean, I don't think a heart attack or stroke or diabetes was out of the mix for me. I never thought he succumb to anything like that, and I knew it had to be something that this guy died from. And as my thinking, more as I was going along in my thinking was telling me this guy, you know, overdosed on pain medications, and that's what this is. And from my understanding, dying on overdosing from opioids is something that a lot of people do in America. It happens all the time. It took Prince, because dying at 57 is totally unreal, especially when 57 is virtually young. And, you know, so that's the official call of it, folks. He died of an overdose of pain medication. We're going to miss Prince. I mean, we're going to miss Prince. Remember, he's left over 1,000 unrecorded songs behind. And I believe he left those unrecorded songs for his fans, just like David Bowie. I mean, David Bowie knew he was dying, so he recorded an album. He made new music. He made a video just for his fans because he knew that he was on his way out. He was dying. Same as Prince. I think Prince did the same thing. I think Prince said, I'm going to die someday. I'm going to overdose someday. You know, I'm not going to be here all the time. So I want to make some music for my fans long after I'm gone. And I think that is totally, totally a great thing for these guys to do. And other people who have passed away, who have left so much behind for their fans. And I think that's great, good, and noble. All right, you're listening to the George Water Jr. Show, making the world a better place, one show at a time. All right, Muhammad Ali, hospitalized, the greatest. I mean, this guy was such a superstar back in his day and time. He was one of the greatest fighters that ever lived and still living, actually. And that's a good thing. I think he's around 74, 75 years old, and he's still around. He's in the hospital or he has been in the hospital. You know, so basically maybe it could have been a routine checkup. Hopefully that's all it was about, because he has Parkinson, you know, shake a lot and stuff like that. So we're going to pray for Muhammad Ali because he's the last of the great ones. Believe me, believe me. All right. One more time. Prince died of a drug overdose of pain pills, a drug overdose of pain pills or opioids, they're called. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Folks, I just cannot get over how great the day looks. And when the day is so gorgeous as it is, it's something, it radiates all over. It makes me feel good. It makes me do a better show, you know, than it would be if it was raining and gray and cold and just miserable and everybody's staying home. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We will, what do we have here? Let's see. I think we just had a break, right? Oh, okay. Paul Ryan, the Speaker of the House of Representatives in Congress, has just endorsed Trump. Trump. I mean, as if that wasn't going to happen. And from my understanding, he's only endorsing Trump to try to bring the party together. It was a timid endorsement, you know, to try to bring the party together. And Trump is over elated that he's gotten support from a fellow Republican who is one of the a powerful politician in Washington. However, Clinton is really blasting Donald Trump, something she should do because he is tearing her ass apart. She is blasting him as unqualified and unfit to be president of the United States. And I totally agree with her with all his ranting and screaming and yelling and just being totally obnoxious, you know. And I know it's a lot of Donald Trump supporters out there. I mean, I just have to be real about it. I don't think he's qualified. I don't think he's fit to take office. And I'm pretty sure some of his supporters feel the same way, but they see this guy as who he is. And I do think that Donald Trump, with his short temper, will probably take us into war. There's no doubt about it. Because, I mean, if you listen to Donald Trump, anybody who is against him or says something against him, even if what they say is true, he's going to attack them by calling them a bunch of names. A bunch of names. This guy is not presidential. He's not statesmanlike. He doesn't have the knowledge or the temperament to be president of the United States. Not saying that he will not be, you know, but if Donald Trump becomes president of the United States, and it's possible, we're going to be in a lot of trouble, you know, so that is totally, totally true. You know, so I'm glad to see Hillary hitting back at Donald Trump. She's going to need that because lately Donald Trump has been hitting her verbally, attacking her and her husband, Bill Clinton. You have to fight fire with fire. I've said this on many shows that if you don't fight Donald Trump back on his own turf, you're going to lose. She's going to lose. So now she's hitting him back. And he's calling her liar and all that kind of thing. Well, that's Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the biggest liar that I've ever known in politics. Politicians do lie, but you know, they keep it undercover. Donald Trump, he comes out with it on television and lie. The guy has some nerve calling someone else a liar. Donald Trump is the lord of liars. You know, and speaking of the campaign, Bernie Sanders, some people are calling for him to get out of the race, but Bernie Sanders said no, he's going to take this all the way to the convention. Okay, and plus, I think on the 9th of June, at some point in some time, there's going to be a primary in California, and my understanding is that Hillary Clinton is neck and neck with Bernie Sanders. If Bernie Sanders win that primary, he's going to stay in. I mean, if he, I'm thinking if he loses, he's going to get out. But poor Hillary, if you think about Hillary, she's really got it going for her. She's a woman, and she's fighting two men. She's fighting Donald Trump, and she's fighting Bernie Sanders. She's got two men. She's sandwiched right in there with two guys. A woman being bashed by two guys, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump. Now, some women rights and women in general would probably say that's unfair. But hey, wow, we're talking about being the president of the United States. 347-857-1762. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me all over the place. My guest today is author Jeff Barnes. I talked to him yesterday, and he seems to be elated about being on the show. All righty, let's take a break, and I will be back, folks. Let's see what we can do. We have a clip over here. A kid... All right. Yeah, I guess that was funny.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio.
All right, folks, it's like a broken record in the city of Chicago. Once again, I want to tell you that if you don't already know, they're saying that Chicago public schools will not open in September at the start of school after the summer. This is a mess. Because there's no state budget twice. Okay, this is twice. There's been no state budget in the state of Illinois. And from my understanding, the people who are responsible for this are on vacation. And there's a lot of things that are closing down. Catholic charities saying they cannot stand if they don't get the money that they're owed from the state. Wow. With a failed budget, no school openings, they will close. This is going to upend a lot of children. I mean, grammar school, high school, graduation, this is a mess. This is a totally mess. The talk of this is just sending ripples through the educational community. The talk of it, even if they find a compromise tonight, the talk of it is a mess. The legislature wants to raise taxes. Rauner says no. And somehow it seems as if the unions are backing Rauner, because they're saying he's making a little bit more sense. I don't think they're backing him 100%. I do think he might have said something that may have that they may agree with, but I don't think they're 100% in his corner. And the union is talking about this, the Forrest Claypool, who is the leader in terms of being the Chicago Public School Superintendent. He's saying that the schools will not open after the summer. And the union is saying that, why are you saying that? You don't want teachers to feel as if they will not have a job after the summer because the schools will not open. The teachers will go elsewhere. They'll be looking for other jobs. They're going to leave the state because they feel that if the schools doesn't open, why should they stick around in Chicago if they, like I said, if they find themselves unemployed because of the state budget, which makes sense. And you're sending a ripple through the educational community in Chicago about the schools not opening. That's a big effect on young people and students. So I may agree with them on that. I don't think that Claypool probably should have said that. I do think with or without a budget, schools should and will open. But the thing, what Claypool is doing, he's trying to scare Governor Rauner into getting a budget, into signing a spending plan for the schools. And as we know, Rauner is not going to budge on that. Governor Bruce Rauner doesn't give a damn about these schools. He doesn't care. He cares more about the schools downstate than he does the school up here in Chicago. And Claypool, just like anybody, should know that. So trying to hold the schools, closing the schools, to think that he's going to come up with some money to pay, that's wrong. That he's not going to do that. He's going to stand steadfast because he doesn't like public schools. He doesn't like unions. He doesn't like workman compensation. So this is not going to work, Claypool. Open them damn schools. This is crazy. This is why a lot of people are taking their kids out of public schools. 85% of the kids that go to public schools live in poverty. If the kids are not in poverty, they're going to private schools or more upscaled schools. The politicians in this town, they are not sending their kids to public schools. They are sending their kids to the more elite schools. They come up with all kinds of excuses to tell us why their kids are going to elite schools when pretending to care about the schools that are filled with poor children. It just doesn't work itself out. There's no balance there. They can spin it and lie it all they want to. The reason why they send their kids to better schools, because they know that the reason why they send their kids to better schools like public schools and elite schools, because they know that the Chicago public schools are broken. They will not say that, but that's the real reason to why they will not do it, and they pretend like they care. They don't. They don't. If they cared, we would have a budget here. If they cared, Chicago public schools would have there would be a funding bill for those schools to bail out those schools. And when you think of bailout, President Obama bailed out all of these damn banks at the beginning of his first term, but he cannot come here to help bail out his city, that is being taken over by rogue politicians who pretend like they care. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. We're talking about things in the news. Great guest, timeless talk. All of that is on this show, and it is such a great day. I hope you guys are feeling good out there. If not, when you tune into this show is all about feeling good. This show is all about making the world a better place one show at a time. If you're feeling bad, you're feeling depressed, you're sick, you're not bad, your day is not going right, you feel like you're feeling worthless, just tune into this show. And all of those things will go right away because I'm pretty sure I'm going to have some guests on the show that's going to say, hey, wow, pick yourself up and do what you love and be happy. I know it's easier said than done. I know that. But anyway, hey, wow, enjoy life, okay? You only got one of them, so enjoy it. You may not have all the money in the world. You may not have all the great friends in the world. You may not have all the talent in the world. But enjoy the things that you can enjoy. You know. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I will be right back, folks. All righty.
Dozens of shootings scattered across the city this weekend, most hitting the South Side the hardest, including 81-year-old great-grandmother, Iola Barres.
Old lady doing pretty good, and I thank God.
Neither Iola nor her 34-year-old grandson, Sylvester, who were both shot, suffered serious injuries Friday night, both sitting on her porch mourning the death of her daughter.
Ain't he got shot?
Iola's other daughter, Sylvester's mother, Mary, still can't get over the shooting of two innocent people.
We need to put those guns down. And if you're going to get somebody, go to them. Don't hurt other innocent people. Go to school. Get an education.
According to the best of my ability.
I'm with you. Go to school. Get an education. I'm with you. That was just some of the carnage that happens in the city of Chicago. I'm pretty sure the police officers, they are still wrapping up themselves for a bloody, bloody summer in Chicago. It's easy. It's hard to say. It is really hard to say, but they are wrapping it up. This May that just passed was the bloodiest month of any May in the city of Chicago. And if you've been listening to the show and listening to me, you know that I've been really, really railing about the violence in Chicago. I've been giving solutions on how to solve the violence in Chicago. I don't know if the superintendent is been listening to the show, but I hope so. And we just got to do something about it. I've just got through saying that summer's here, and when summer is here in Chicago, Detroit, wherever, Los Angeles, crime spikes. It goes up. The police should be aware of this and be ready for it, but a lot of them are not. The crime is overwhelming in the city of Chicago. Folks, it is off the hook. And I've said many times, I want to say it again, this show is about making the world a better place. This show is about making Chicago a better place. You know, and I'm always going to be talking about the crime. I'm always going to be talking about the political situation in this city, because this is what's taken this city and this state down. And we're going to try to take it back from those who want to destroy it and to see it crumble. It ain't going to happen as long as George Wilder Jr. is on the air and have a microphone out there. But I'm going to need your help. This show is not about just being a talk show. This show is about putting action into those words, because there's too many people out here who talk a good game. But we're going to have to put some action behind those words. You know, we got to protest. We got to go down here and protest this governor. We got to protest this mayor. We got to stand in front of the superintendent's house declaring that he gets this crime down. We have to do things. We just can't sit back and let it happen. And I would say to a lot of people, do not leave your community. Do not get up and leave it. Stay there and fight for it. Because if you leave your community, if it's a crime-ridden community, and the bad guys see you leaving because you're afraid, then the bad guys win. You don't want to let the bad guys win and take over your community. If you love it, stay there and defend it from the bad guys, even if the police is not there. You know, the police are blaming the parents, but there's so much you can put on a parent. You know, there's so much you can put on a parent. The the police, they have a stake in this too. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Forgive me, folks, I'm just ranting right now. And I hope you guys understand. Okay, let's go to the phones. All right, you're on the George Wilder Jr. Show. Go right ahead. Hello, you're
Hello?
On the show. You're on the air. Yeah.
Oh, hi, George. This is Jeff Barnes.
Jeff Barnes?
Yes. We're doing an interview, I believe, this afternoon?
Yeah, you're on, man. You're on. Take
oh,
it.
Awesome.
Give us a little bit of your bio and talk about your book and tell us how it's going to make everybody's life better. I think it's called The Wisdom of Walt.
It is. Well, good afternoon, George, and thank you for having
okay.
me on today.
No problem.
So I live in Southern California, and I
uh-huh.
teach at a university, California Baptist University. I teach a course on the history of Disneyland, which a lot of people find rather unique and a little bit different. But the idea behind the course was to really use Walt Disney's story and his idea for bringing a place where parents and children could have fun together and all of the obstacles and adversity he faced in getting Disneyland built, to use that story as motivation and inspiration to see all of our own dreams come true. I know you're there in Chicago, and, of course, Walt himself started out born in Chicago in 1901, and then would make his way to Marceline, Missouri, and then ultimately Kansas City, and then finally Southern California, where he would first become famous with Mickey Mouse and then ultimately Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And then about the middle part of his career, he would finally build his dream, that place called Disneyland.
Oh, yeah. I've seen documentaries and I've read a lot about Walt Disney. I thought he was a great guy, a wonderful guy. And when you say leadership lessons and you're talking about Disneyland and – are you saying actually when you take your son or daughter to a place like Disneyland and you're saying that they come out better people, they're more happier because they're in a family setting, or is because they're just together and having fun?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both. The idea for Disneyland started back in the 1940s when Walt would take his two young daughters to different places in Southern California. Most importantly, Griffith Park, where they loved to ride this little merry-go-round. And they would be riding the merry-go-round, and Walt would be sitting on a bench. And he just had this idea, why isn't there a place where parents and children can have fun together? We had amusement parks in the 1940s, but we didn't have theme parks. And Walt dreamed up of a place where it would be clean and it would be themed. There'd be lots of landscaping, a place where we truly felt better about ourselves, about life, about our communities, about each other. And that's how Disneyland was ultimately born. Walt most wanted to be remembered as a storyteller, and so rather than building an amusement park that appealed to us physically, he really wanted to build something that told stories, that sparked our imagination. And so he built, rather than rides, he constructed actual attractions that were built by the very same individuals who were studio craftsmen at the Disney Studios in Burbank. And so I believe that not only does Disneyland tell great stories, it actually challenges us in our own life to leave the park and then go live our own great story. And so I think we feel better in Disneyland because it's showing us how to live a great life, and it's showing us how to make our own dreams come true. We just need help sometimes with the translation, and that's what I do in the History of Disneyland class, and it's what we've done in The Wisdom of Walt.
Actually, I think when you're out with your child and you're out with your kids and you take them to an amusement park, something like the Disneyland, I think that does bring family together. For instance, if I can tell this little story, my son and I, we rarely have, you know, father and son time. So this past Memorial Day, we went to Navy Pier. It's something like an amusement park where you have
mm-hmm.
thousands of rides and lots of people and all that kind of thing. And, you know, I said to him, I said, hey, Denver, let's get on this ride. He was hesitant about getting on the ride. We were kind of a extreme. he was hesitant about getting on the ride. And so I said, hey, we're here. Let's have a good time. Let's have a good time. I said, you see everybody else around? It was crowded, and everybody was having a great time. And I said, let's go get on the ride. I mean, it was on this Ferris wheel, I believe it was. Mm-hmm. And he was hesitant. He seemed like as if he was afraid to get on it. But, you know, I pushed him. I pushed him. I made him. I kind of twisted his arm to get on the Ferris wheel, get on the swinger. So I got tickets. He was nervous. So, you know, we were told to load up. Everyone was told to load up and get on the Ferris wheel. You know, we were on it. We were going up and down, round and round, and up and down and round and round. And once we were back on the ground, you know, we got off and we walked. He put his arms around me. He was very, very talkative. He was very, very talkative. And this was not my son. My son is not usually talkative, especially to me. You know, I'm not his friends because, as you know, teenagers probably talk one way with their friends and another way with their parents.
Oh, yeah, I have two myself.
You know, and he was very, very talkative. He threw his arm around me. He said, Dad, I thought you were going to throw up. You know, and I looked at him and I said, hey, wow, I thought you were going to throw up because you were the one that was hesitant about getting on, you know?
Yeah.
You were the one that was hesitant.
Yeah, it becomes a shared experience. I've actually ridden that very same Ferris wheel at Navy Pier. And the Ferris wheel first debuted in Chicago. It was part of the 1893 World's Fair, where Walt's father first worked as a dollar-a-day carpenter. And so, you know, it was Walt Disney who said all of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. And so just like your son needed courage to ride that Ferris wheel at Navy Pier, at some point his life and his dreams are going to require courage. And hopefully you inspired him to figure out where he could find that courage inside himself
whenever he is
willing to take those risks and dare and dream.
You know, I think we've grown closer together since that Ferris wheel ride that I had to twist his arm. I think that we've grown close together, and I'm pretty sure that's what Walt was thinking, that parents could grow close together with their children by sharing at least one day or two with them at an amusement park.
Yeah, he was really a visionary, and people don't realize it, but when he had this idea, nobody believed in it. Lily thought he was crazy. His brother Roy, who was his partner and financial backer, didn't believe in it at all. But Walt was confident in his dream, and he was courageous in moving forward on it. And even though most people thought it would go bankrupt and close in less than a year, I mean, here we are almost 61 years later. Imagine for just a moment what our world would look like without a Disneyland, without a Disney World. We're getting ready to open Disneyland Shanghai, you know, the 16th of this month. And so, you know, Walt's crazy dream not only changed the world, he created entirely new and different worlds because of the way that he thought and his willingness to take courage and action on his dream.
Wow. The wisdom of Walt. What made you want to put this down on print?
Well, when I came to realize that so many people are passionate about Disney, Disneyland, Disney World. I mean, every year between those two locations, one in California, one in Florida, over 33 million people attend a Disney park just here in the United States. And so I realized, well, if the park is showing us how to live a great story, and if Walt wasn't born successful, and if he faced obstacles and he faced adversity to see his own dreams come true, what if we use that as a source of motivation and inspiration to show other people how to follow on their own ideas and their own crazy dreams? That's what gave birth to the class. But unfortunately, not everyone can take the college course here in Southern California. And so in order to get the material into the hands of as many people as possible, we went on to write what is now a best-selling book. Again, The Wisdom of Walt, Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth, Success Strategies for Everyone.
Wow, it's a great-looking book. I'm looking at it now. Are you working on a second book?
I am, actually. The book has resonated so well with so many people And everyone is asked, we want more. We want a follow-up. So they love the history. They love the detail.
Yeah.
And Walt, unfortunately, died in 1966. He never walked at Walt Disney World. He had thought of it. He had dreamed of it. But they wouldn't break ground until 1967, the year after he passed. And so I'm about a third of the way through writing the sequel or the follow-up. It's entitled Beyond the Wisdom of Walt, More Leadership Lessons from the Happiest Place on Earth. The first book focuses primarily on Disneyland, and the second book is going to tell stories from Walt Disney World and include leadership lessons and life lessons from people beyond Walt. We're going to talk a little bit about Roy. We're going to talk about his wife, Lily, and we're going to talk about some of the leading Imagineers who helped make Disneyland and Disney World a reality.
Yeah, and at the time of his death, he was virtually still a young man.
Only
1966. Yeah, he was virtually still. Virtually still a young man, and he had so many wonderful ideas. I seen a documentary on him, and his brother Roy, my understanding, he was the financial leg of it. Am I correct?
Yeah, he was a lot more grounded, a lot more practical, a lot more sensible. Walt was the visionary idea person.
Yeah,
and it took that partnership. It took that teamwork. Walt didn't care about money. He just needed money to help make his dreams and his ideas a reality. And it was Roy who lined up the financing and helped make all of it possible.
There's no doubt about it that Walt Disney had fun coming up with ideas that were family-oriented.
Yes.
All right, Jeff, thanks for being on the show. Where can we find your book?
Well, George, thank you very much. It's available on Amazon, hard copy, soft cover, Kindle ebook, audio book, and if you would like a personally signed hard copy, they're available at my own website, thewisdomofwalt.com, and everybody check it out. You'll enjoy the book, and I'd be happy to send one to you.
No problem. Everybody will check it out, and it sounds like a great book. It's a wonderful book. I'm looking at it right now on your website. So one other thing, is there something about Walt that you didn't say that you would like to say?
Well, I think we associate Walt Disney with children. We associate him with family. A lot of people don't realize that even though he spent his entire life chasing his dreams, he was actually haunted by nightmares from his own childhood. He didn't have a great relationship with his father. And yet he was managed to focus on his dreams and his ideas and focus on moving forward. We all face challenges. We all face difficulties. Whatever crazy idea that you have, whatever dream that you have in your heart, you have it for a reason. Walt Disney went forward, and you can go forward as well. And you can actually learn how in the Wisdom of Walt.
Oh, wow. That's great. Jeff, would you like a link to this show? Maybe you can put it on your website or your blog, and people come by and get your book, they can also listen to you on this show. You can cut it up if you want to. That's up to you.
Oh, that'd be great.
All right, I'll send it to you as soon as show is over and podcast it.
Right.
Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, George. Have a good afternoon.
You too. Bye-bye. All right, that was Jeff Barnes on the George Walter Jr. Show talking about the wisdom of Walt, the wisdom of Walt Disney. And I was sharing a little bit about my son as we went to Navy Pier and got on the swinger or the thing in there. He was a little bit nervous. He was nervous. I had to push him. But after I pushed him and he enjoyed it, seemed like we became close together. So go out and get that book if you want to get closer to your children. It is fun. It is fun. I'm running out of words here. You're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. Let's see if we can pull up a clip here. I will be right back, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks.
O'Reilly Factor, the number one cable news show for 15 years and counting.
Thanks for staying with us. I'm Bill O'Reilly in the Factor follow-up segment tonight. The minority vote. 2012, Mitt Romney captured 6% of the black vote. President Obama, 93%. That's a huge advantage for the Democrats, obviously. Writing in USA Today on March 3rd, Tavis Smiley said, quote, "If Donald Trump is indeed the Republican nominee, it might be a miscalculation for Democrats to take for granted that black voters are a lock for their nominee," unquote. Mrs. Smiley, the author of a brand new book called 50 for your future, lessons from down the road. He joins us now. So I was surprised when I read your USA Today column. I know you're no fan of Mr. Trump.
Nope.
But why do you think that blacks would give Mr. Trump or Ted Cruz or John Kasich a look?
A couple of things. One, I'm tired of black folk being taken for granted by one party, being ignored by the other party, number one. Number two, I did write that in fairness before Donald Trump just completely lost his mind and became the sort of racial arsonist at setting fires everywhere he goes.
What do you called him a racial arsonist on your show and just repeated that.
Mm-hmm.
What comment set you off? What did he say?
You're off the air at 8:50. You ain't got enough time for me to run
the list of all.
Oh, come on, Bill.
Just give me one. You're
wasting good television time, Bill. His anti-immigrant stance, his anti-Muslim stance. His maltreating and that of his supporters, the maltreating of African Americans in the audiences at these rallies. Don't ask a silly question. You know better.
It's not silly.
It is silly.
If you look at the context, if you look at the context of, and I'm not defending Donald Trump's policies, the folks can decide that. But if you look at the context of protecting American from a flood of immigrants that come in here illegally, and also Muslim refugees who are not vetted very well. As the FBI director said he couldn't do. It's not an attack on a race that he's doing. It's a policy. It's hard. It's harsh. But it's policy.
It's not just harsh, Billy. He's painting with a broad brush, and it has the tone of xenophobia with it when he does that. If I were going to take Dylann Roof, the unrepentant Dylann Roof, who walked into that black church in South Carolina, and use that example to paint every white male in America, you wouldn't like that. And that's what Donald Trump does with Muslims with Hispanics.
But there wouldn't be any policy around Dylann Roof. What I'm disturbed at when you say
hate crime is against the law. That is a policy bill.
But there isn't a policy that connects to the nation. When you use the word racial arsonist, okay, that conjures up to me David Duke and these kinds of people who their sole reason for being is to run down blacks or Hispanics or Muslims or whatever.
It took Mr. Trump too long to come around to denouncing
David Duke
and others when they came out to support him and the robocalls.
You make mistakes, and so do I. That doesn't mean...
Bill, that's not a mistake. Listen, you live your life...
I've known the man for a long time. I've never seen him do anything racial.
You live your life by a certain set of immutable principles. I live my life by a certain set of immutable principles. And when you live your life by a certain set of principles, there are some mistakes you just don't make. It's fundamentally who you are. And this election is fundamentally about what kind of nation we're
going to be. All I can tell you is I've known the man a long time, and I've never seen him cast aspersions at any group at all.
You might not have seen it, but the rest of the country has
I've been around him much more than the rest of the country.
But here's the problem. We're watching one Donald Trump on the news every day. We watch him live on network television every day. And everybody who knows Donald Trump keeps saying to me and to all your viewers, but that ain't the Donald I know. Well, which Donald Who's the real Donald? Will the real Donald stand up?
I can't answer the question. I can just tell you what
I know. Should we elect someone who we think we know but really don't know?
That is what they asked about Barack Obama. And the exact question.
The difference was this. The difference was that Barack Obama campaigned to all of America. I think that any person who does not campaign to all of America ought to be automatically dismissed and disqualified.
Okay, but
you want to be president for the entire... No, it's not my opinion.
Sure it is.
Okay, back up. It is my opinion.
Right.
But it ought to be yours. And here's my point. If you want to be president of the entire
country, I'm not involved. I don't like the divisiveness either.
Yeah.
All right,
and I challenge everybody, not one slice of it.
Okay, but you know, if you want to have that standard of behavior, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders are divisive as well. They're not campaigning for pro-life people. They don't respect pro-life people.
That's just one example. I can give you a thousand. No, Trump has his opinions. They have their opinions. I'm not talking about opinions.
You don't want to be divisive.
I'm talking about running a segregated campaign. If you want to be president of the entire country,
Trump would tell you to campaign to everybody. Trump would tell you he wants Hispanic votes and he wants black votes.
They will say that, but is Ted Cruz campaigned in black America? Has he campaigned in Hispanic America?
He is Hispanic.
Exactly.
He's a Cuban.
But has he gone after the Hispanic vote with a real policy
program?
You know
what? I'm not on their campaign teams, but when I see them saying we want a good economy,
that's talk.
I mean, we're running out of time, and I don't want to because you have a good book. All right?
Thank you.
It's 50 for your future. It's lessons. In this book, you say that, and we only is a short answer.
Sure, sure.
And I'll get if you want to come back because we spent a lot of time on this.
Sure.
You say to people, look, if you have a certain philosophy of life and somebody is intruding on that, making you feel bad, walk away. Right? That's one of your lessons here in this book.
I'm not sure I put it quite like that.
Well, that's the essence of it. If it's somebody's really taking you away from your life experience.
What I'm arguing is you got to be your authentic self and live your life on your own terms. You can't transcend who you are for the sake of.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show, the talk of our times. This is the talk of our times on Block Talk Radio, the Wilder Network.
Wow, I just love listening to Tavis Smiley because this guy tells it like it is. He is nowhere near a Trump fan, folks. He is Tavis Smiley. All right, Chicago Teachers Union president suggests teachers could go some raises in their contract. They don't have a contract. They know that the schools are broke. They know that that there's been an impasse twice on the budget. They know that they're talking about now that there will not be a budget for the state of Illinois until after the November elections. And one of the things I want to say to people out there, especially voters, especially those in Illinois, this thing probably will carry on until November, after the elections in November. Even if they decide to come up with some sort of a stopgap budget for 6 months, 6 months is 6 months. 6 months is not a year, okay? And we'll be, let's say if they do finally come up with one, maybe this week, next week, following week, they come up with a temporary budget, a six-month budget. You know, okay, January 2017, we're back in this fix again. We're back in it again. So, you know, I'm all for a complete budget, not a stopgap budget, not a six-month budget, not a kick-the-can-down-the-road budget, because that seems like what we're going to get. Even Rauner, at one point, he agreed. He didn't want this. Rauner is steadfast on. He's backed off a lot of this stuff, you know, because the people have been protesting his ass. People have been not watching or paying attention to the things he say. I don't listen to Browner anymore. If I ever did, okay? I don't listen to him no more. He can come on TV and he can have all kind of speeches he wants. As long as there's no budget in the state of Illinois, there's nothing he can say. There's nothing I need to listen to. You want me to listen to you? You want me to pay attention to what you're saying? Then you do something. Do something positive for this state. Then I will pay attention to what you're saying. You do nothing for this state. You cripple this state. You try to destroy this state. Why would I want to listen to you? There's no budget. You know, you're hurting people left and right. You're hurting agencies. You're hurting charities. You're hurting elderly. You're hurting the children. You're hurting the mentally ill. You're hurting the people with autism. Why would I listen to you? You're hurting the state. No way. No way. Okay, let's get back to what I was saying previously. Chicago Teachers Union President Karen Lewis suggests that teachers could forego some raises. That means that they understand the predicament that Chicago Public Schools are in. Whether some teachers are going to go with that or not, I don't know. I really don't know. And a top CTU, Chicago Teachers Union official, says Forrest Claypool's suggestion that schools may not open in the fall without Springfield action is an admission of failure. And I agree with that. I don't think he should say that schools will not open. Schools will open unless he doesn't want them to open. Doesn't matter. You know, whether we have a budget or not, whether the schools are going to get money or not, they will open. They should open. For Claypool is probably trying, like I said before, trying to threaten or scare Rauner into a complete budget. Said, well, the schools are not going to open because of Rauner. Claypool does not like Rauner, and it shows. It totally shows. He can join the club because of Rauner. A lot of people in Chicago do not like him, and he knows it, but I don't think he really cares because he's always thinking that he's doing the right thing for Chicago and the state of Illinois. Rauner loves it downstate because downstate is, where people like him reside, and that's where he likes it. I mean, all the photo ops and everything he takes down there, you're not going to see him in a Chicago public school doing photo ops like he does the photo ops downstate. It ain't going to happen. And a lot of us feeling that he may be racist against poor children. A lot of us feel that he may be racist against African-American children because he doesn't want to do anything for their education. He's doing more for the education of those wealthy kids downstate than he is for the kids up here in Chicago who are poverty ridden. And that could be something to that. Again, he's going around blaming. Oh, wow. You know what I just saw outside my window? I saw police officers on bikes. Okay, I said, there they go, on bikes. Over here on the north side of the city where I am, near the lake, they should not be over here. They should be in those crime-ridden neighborhoods on the south and west sides of the city. I'm not saying crime doesn't happen where I am or on the north side of the city, but it doesn't happen as much as it does on the west and south sides of the city. Now, to see, I think I saw about three or four of them, police officers on bikes heading north past my window. And I'm thinking, wow, you shouldn't be over here. You should be saturating the real crime areas. The real crime areas on the south and west sides of the city. Like I said before, I'm not putting down crime over on the north side of the city. Crime happens everywhere, anytime to anybody. But there's the mere fact of it is that crime occurs more on the south and west sides of the city than it does on the north side of the city. And those resources, police resources over here should be over there in those communities. It should be over there in those communities. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio. I have, what time is it? 6:57 straight up Chicago time, PM. And they're still talking about the budget impasse in Chicago. I mean, this is something that's going to be talked about forever, folks, until we get a budget. Even if we do get a budget, a full 1 year budget, as we should, the ramifications leading up to that signed budget, if we should get one, it's still going to linger in the minds of Illinoisans. It will not go away. It will not be forgotten. It is a one-term governor. Okay? Madigan, he's going to be in office until the day he dies because his district, the people in his district, they vote for him. They put him in office. They love him. The reason why the constituency of Michael Madigan's district love him because he cares about them. He cares about the community. He brings resources back into the community that help those folks. That's why they keep putting him in office. And Rauner's trying to, up in on that, so you can forget it, folks. Mike Madigan is in there to stay, but come November, the voters of Illinois should just vote out every single Republican that works against their own interest, that works against the interest of the people who put their asses in office in the state of Illinois and practically anywhere else. If your representative and you, whether they're in Congress or in a state house someplace, if your representative is not doing what you want them to do and you voted their asses in, vote them out in November. because a representative in the state house or in Congress, they only have 2 years in office. Every 2 years, you can change your representative. Change your representative. You know, we have changed a lot of them in Illinois, and we will be still. We're going to throw some more out in November. Hopefully, it'll be a bunch of Republicans. That way, the Democrats in the legislature will have a better chance at overriding Rauner. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Block Talk Radio. Let's see if we can't play another clip on violence. Do we have it? Okay, seems like we don't have it. Let's see.
It's the second weekend in July, and the trauma unit at Advocate Christ Medical Center on the outskirts of Chicago is bracing itself for the worst.
Christ, identify.
Hi, this is Sam Francis.
In Chicago, trauma tends to get busier in the summer months. We've had a stretch of some warm weather.
In what proved to be bloody days in the city, 82 people were shot in Chicago on the July 4th weekend, 16 of them fatally.
Possibly our busiest weekend ever.
And more than two dozen of those victims were brought here to Advocate Christ, which served the city's south side.
A lot of gunshot wounds and a decent number of fatalities as well.
A week later, the pace on a Friday night is slower, but soon after 11 p.m., a call comes in. Ambulances with two gunshot victims are on their way from the city's Roseland neighborhood. The first of the victims arrives, a male with a bullet wound through his shoulder.
Gentleman came in with a gunshot wound, but it was just to the right shoulder, and there's no significant injury.
The medical team treats the wound, but soon rushes to prepare for the second victim, who did not fare as well.
George, you know me here or there?
He's got a gunshot wound to the right chest.
I'm going to get another IV.
Most of the victims are younger patients. They're usually male, who are of lower socioeconomic status.
You got an 18 gauge.
And it represents the neighborhoods where the violence is taking place.
This 26-year-old man has internal bleeding that is making it hard to breathe.
He got shot in the chest.
What's your name? Tell me your name.
And he had diminished breath sounds on the right side of his chest.
Okay, 1, 2, 3.
You know, 90% of homicide victims are men.
No,
95% of perpetrators are men, and that is even more skewed in Chicago. And it vastly discriminates against people of color, particularly African Americans and Latinos.
It's caused a contusion of the lung, which is a bruising of the lung. There's also some blood in the chest.
So move your eyelids.
A surgeon prepares to place a tube in the man's chest to drain the blood.
It is a sort of a basic resuscitation maneuver in terms of patients who have penetrating chest trauma. Place the tube in the chest cavity to drain the blood or to drain the air that's collected around the lung. One of the few times that a fairly simple bedside procedure can actually save a patient's life.
These life-saving maneuvers happen nightly in emergency rooms across the country as gun violence haunts America's cities.
In the last 30 years, about 1 million people have died from guns, and that's homicides, suicides, domestic violence, and accidents.
More than 30,000 people die from guns every year in the United States. Mm-hmm. Chicago is plagued by a gun homicide rate much higher than New York or Los Angeles, which have shown sizable decreases in gun deaths. Still, homicides from guns are half what they were here more than a decade ago.
The decrease in homicides in the United States has been, in many areas, a tremendous public health victory. So Los Angeles, or let's say New York City in the early 90s, 2,000 homicides per year.
Last year, homicides in New York were down to 355.
And while there has been a decrease in Chicago, it has not at all been as dramatic.
In some ways, it's getting better, but I think that there are neighborhoods and communities and generations of people that are not getting the kind of positive supports that are necessary to really turn the tide.
New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago basically have about the same murder rate for murder by other than gunshot. So that's fascinating if you think about it, because everybody wants to know what's different about Chicago. First thing I said when I got here, too many guns, the proliferation of firearms.
In the past, most of our penetrating trauma was coming from the south side of the city of Chicago and some of the more violent neighborhoods, but now we're actually seeing quite a few coming in from the suburbs.
Though gun deaths are lower in the city so far this year, as they are nationwide, police figures show shootings are up. Chief of Trauma Surgery, Dr. James Daugherty, says he's noticing a disturbing trend.
We're seeing more patients who have multiple gunshot wounds, and I think what we're seeing is that the severity of the injuries that we're seeing are much worse. Are they all gang-related? The answer to that is no. Not all of the cases are gang-related. Many of the patients we treat, in fact, the majority, are innocent victims. They just happen to be in the wrong place at the wrong time.
One of those innocent victims got the attention of the city in mid-July. 11-year-old Shamaya Adams was at a sleepover at a friend's house when a stray bullet came through the window. It struck her in the head, and she died the following morning.
Say amen, everybody.
Amen. A day later, Shamaya's family joined other supporters and activists for a vigil in her West Side neighborhood.
Everybody just say with me, God bless,
God bless
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
God bless,
God bless
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
God bless,
God bless
Shamaya's family.
Shamaya's family.
Bow your heads, everybody.
They mourn and call for justice and an end to senseless acts like her killing.
I'm tired of the words. I want to see action. I want to see the guns being put down.
An 18-year-old who ended up shooting at some rival gang members who were 14 and missed them and hit an 11-year-old in a residence and killed her. And the initial confrontation was between two groups of 14-year-olds who had a fist fight. So you take a fist fight and you introduce a firearm into it, and now you've got a murder.
Also, if you know something, or know someone that knows something, please call. Please call.
Local groups collected more than $8,000 as a reward to find the person who killed Shamaya.
I'm not pointing the finger at nobody.
It's all right.
Come on.
Take your time.
It's real, Doc. It's real.
But I tell you one thing. Take a message from me. This ain't over with.
Sometimes people are afraid to speak up. When we held a youth summit, people spoke about the code of silence and that people have to speak up, but then people also spoke about being afraid to speak up, or if they do, they want to make sure that it remains anonymous.
You brought us together for a reason, to be a blessing to this family, and that Shamaya's 11 years would not be lived in vain.
In Shamaya Adams' neighborhood, people were willing to talk about what they saw, and it led to an arrest.
Earlier this morning, charges were filed against an offender for the senseless murder of 11-year-old Shamaya Adams that took place last Friday evening.
You know, sometimes you have that tipping point, and she might be it. It seems like when the community gets involved, that's very helpful. People trusting that they can speak to the police about it. It's getting to the point, enough is enough.
The words of amen.
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 Back in the trauma room at Advocate Christ, police question a shooting victim to piece together what happened. Meanwhile, the other gunshot victim's blood pressure drops, and it has doctors worried.
He's lost a liter and a half of blood.
He's still with us, but we need to make sure there's nothing more serious going on in his chest.
They'll take him to the operating room to explore and repair the damage in his chest.
Let's go.
He is one of more than 30 people shot in the Chicago area over the weekend, fortunate to not be one of the three who died from their wounds.
So how are the guns getting in the hands of the people that shouldn't be holding the guns and carrying the guns? That, I think, is something that we really need to try to figure out. How do we stem that tide?
It is a very serious problem in Chicago, but it's not just a Chicago problem. I believe it's a national problem because the mayor of Chicago can do as much as he can do, but it's still a city within a county within a state within a nation.
As this series continues, they survive the shooting, but their lives were changed forever.
One of the bullets fractured my vertebrae on my spine.
The true
All right, welcome
gun
back
violence.
To the George Wilder Jr. Show.
Not every day I'm fighting off depression.
On Black Talk Radio.
It's not only a devastating psychological toll, it's a monetary toll.
It is
toll
a
as well.
Mess. All right, welcome back to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio. Follow me on Facebook. I hope you enjoyed that piece right there. Somebody needs to do something. That's what this show is all about. And then this show is going to do something because this show is all about making the world a better place one show at a time. Maybe not this show. Maybe not tomorrow's show. Well, we will try. We will try. Keep trying to make the world a better place. But somehow, you know, it's tough. It's going to be really tough because they're talking about school closings and. We don't have a budget in the state of Illinois. For the second year, no budget, and they're talking about maybe no budget until the end of the presidential elections in November. That's a damn shame. We need to get rid of all of these stupid politicians. Some of them right now on my monitor. I have a monitor, a great big monitor here, and politicians are all over trying to explain to the public why they can't seem to get together. Get their shit together for the people of this state, for the kids of this state. Now, why? I just got through saying, folks, to why I don't listen to these people. I don't listen to them. I don't give a damn about their excuses. I don't give a damn about their rhetoric. I don't give a damn about what they're saying, it's what they do, and they don't do anything. Why would I listen to anybody, or you for that matter, listen to politicians talk about this and that thing? They've made things worse. You know, they get their faces on television. They get their faces all on the internet, try to explain to people, blaming the other side, you know, for not letting them do their job. But this all falls on every one of those damn representatives and senators in the legislature. They're not doing their jobs. They're letting the people down. This is why I say when November 2016 comes, vote their asses out. And a lot of them they're not doing anything because they're afraid to do anything. They're afraid for their jobs. They know that in 2 years, they can be voted their asses out, thrown out into the damn street. There's been no progress whatsoever in the Illinois General Assembly. I know I talk about this a lot, but I'm in the city of Chicago, in the state of Illinois, and I love this state, and I hate to see rogue politicians come into office and try to tear this state apart, want to tear this state apart by trying to say they're doing the best they can for the state. They're the best thing going for the state. Bruce Rauner has to realize, you know what, I think the governor, Bruce Rauner, he's not going to admit it. He's not going to say it. But I have a feeling that this guy is probably in a back room somewhere with his flunkies saying that this was more than what he thought he could handle. I think he thought he can come into Chicago, come into Illinois as governor, as a politician, a Republican politician, and everybody was going to just, you know, fall under his spell or something. He was going to tear the state apart, rip it up the way he wanted it to be. He's figuring out that it's not that easy for him to rip up the state because he's put on the back burner his turnaround agenda. He's softening his stance. He's softening his stance, you know, on certain things. His turnaround agenda is not the focus anymore. The focus is trying to save Illinois from the mess that he put it in. He put this here. And to try to listen to folks, all these politicians from the state legislature, a few of them on television, trying to explain what the hell happened, because there's no budget for the second time in the state of Illinois, why they couldn't do it, the disagreements, the arguments, the bitches, the bitching. And yet the vulnerable people of this state, they're the ones who's suffering from this, because these assholes, they are going to continue to get their paycheck. They're going to continue to be paid while laying off other folks, other employees, because of funding cuts, because the state refuses to pay its bills. And I'm not just only talking about Rauner. I'm talking about Madigan, all of these jackasses. They're getting paid. They're going to their million-dollar homes, $10 million homes, while they're throwing other people out of their apartments because the upending of their jobs. People are being unemployed. The mentally ill thrown out in the street. Children thrown out in the street. Elderly programs are upended. The elderly they're being thrown out into the goddamn street because of these rogue-ass politicians. I'm talking to Democrats and Republicans. They can't get their act together for the state of Illinois, bitching and arguing and blaming each other while everybody else in between is suffering. I mean, literally suffering. The schools are suffering. They may not open after the summer. They're saying it all the time. It's national news. If Chicago doesn't make national news one way, is going to make the national news the other way. This is crazy. This is totally nutty. But I'm here, folks. The George Wilder Jr. Show is here, and we're going to make the world a better place one show at a time if it hurts. And I need you to help me. You know, help me to make the world a better place one show at a time. It's just crazy, folks. But, I chuckle at it, but it's not a laughing matter. It's not it's no kind of amusement at all to see people suffering because of the jackasses we voted for, the jackasses that are supposed to be taking working for us, but they wind up working for themselves, being bought off and corrupt. Bruce Rauner, there's no doubt about it. He's the governor of Illinois. He's trying to say other people failed, but there's no bigger failure than Bruce Rauner. He's failed Illinois big time, because if people of Illinois would have gotten their asses out there and voted, we would not be in this predicament. And I've said this before on many other shows. Rauner has opponents. He's going to be running for re-election in 2 years, 2018. He might as well, if I was him, I mean, he should know that he will not win if he tries to run for re-election for governor in the state of Illinois in 2018. People are pissed off. And just like I've said, even if we get a budget in 5 minutes, the ramifications of this are already in the minds of people. And he's already got four or five opponents waiting to take his ass on because of his poor poll numbers. But like I said before, Bruce Rauner is softening. And I said before, I think he's softening because this is more than what he expected. Bruce Rauner is a businessman. He's not a politician. Give me a break. He's trying to run the state like a politician, and it's failing. It's failing big time. Now he's trying to save face, putting his turnaround agenda on the back burner and trying to come up with money to save some of these social programs that he has destroyed. You know, that's where it is. That is where it is. And I want to say this again. Come November, we got to vote all of these assholes out if we are surviving, because the state is really crumbling. We have to vote these assholes out in November. Even Democrats, I mean, if they're not representing you the way you want them to represent you, and they are looking for your vote, you know, I mean, do the right thing and vote against someone and vote for someone else who has your best interest at heart. You know, because politicians, I mean, they'll laugh in your face, smile at you, kiss your baby, and then turn around and rob you blind. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio at 7:20 p.m. Chicago time. I believe it's around 60. No, I'm saying not 60, but what does it say there? Okay, it's around 80. My fault. Around 80 degrees in Chicago. It is beautiful. Like I said at the start of the show, the sun has gone down a bit, but hey, wow, it is still a lovely evening in the city of Chicago. And like I said before, I want to mention those folks in Texas, especially up and around Houston with all those hard rains and flooding and all that kind of thing. People who have lost everything. Say a prayer for those folks. All right, you've been listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio, and we have been having a blast, folks. I hope you have too. So we're going to take a break. Let's see, a small break. All right.
You are now listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, they're talking about the schools are not going to open. That's a shame.
listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show on Black Talk Radio.
All right, folks. Welcome back to the show. And a lot of these, I'm still on the, harping on Chicago and its problems. A lot of the vulnerable children out there, a lot of young people in need will no longer have a home because of the budget crisis in Chicago and the state of Illinois. And that's just sad. A lot of young people in need, a lot of these agencies and Catholic charities and other charities are going under because of this. People are being laid off all over the city, all over the state, actually, because of this. And I just don't see how these lawmakers could sleep at night knowing that they're the cause of decent people losing their jobs because they can't get their acts together. And we need to, come November, folks, in the state of Illinois, we need a clean house. Clean house. We can get... we can vote in the people that we need to vote in who are going to represent us. Vote in some people, whereas if Rauner tries anything, he can be always overridden, and bills can become law, and the state will not fall in this flux again because we have idiotic lawmakers. Talk a good game, who sound good, but behind closed doors, they're trying to hang you. So a lot of the people out here are out of work. A lot of people going to be walking the streets because they won't have anywhere to go because of funding cuts. A lot of jobs are already upended. A lot of teachers are going to be laid off. A lot of state workers are going to be laid off. A lot of these people may not get their paychecks. As I've said in many shows, the only reason why Illinois is still up and running is because of lawsuits. It's because of federal lawsuits saying that some of these programs, the majority of some of these programs, they have to keep being funded. And as long as these programs keep being funded and the state has to pay for it, the more debt that the state goes into. Every day that there is no budget in the state of Illinois, the state goes into debt for about $1 million or more. See, every day without a budget, it sinks in debt. And getting us out of debt, to get us out of this debt, I believe they want a tax hike. That is something Governor Rauner is trying to. That's something Governor Rauner is trying to avoid, but he's not doing a good job at it because I think he's going to come around to it. He has to. I mean, how else are we going to get out of this mess? Another tax hike. This is something. This is why people are leaving the state, and rightly so. You know, so we've got all these asshole politicians. What can we do? We can vote them out in November. We are not powerless. We are not powerless, and we should never think that we're powerless. We can do the right thing. This show is about making the world a better place. Let's make the world a better place by voting these jackasses who do not represent your interests out of office. Because I think we may have the good fellas in the state of Illinois down there in Springfield. But like I said before, I think Rauner's gotten in over his head. He didn't know what he was getting into. All right, you're listening to the George Wilder Jr. Show. I'm going to be off for 3 days, folks. And I hope you join me Monday. I will be right back. Thanks a lot. And thanks to my guest, Jeff Barnes, for being on the George Wilder Jr. Show. He was great. He was wonderful. And hopefully he will come back someday and tell us more about Walt Disney. All right, bye-bye, folks. Thank you. I don't, and that's true. I don't listen to none of these jackasses. I don't listen to not one.